Welcome back. Did you hear about that Amazon campaign? Special offer. Customers were directed to go to brick-and-mortar stores, use Amazon's Price Check app on their phones to scan products and collect data. Then last Saturday, give that information to Amazon and get 5% off 3 items scanned in stores but bought from Amazon. This infuriated Main Street, already ticked off by online companies turning stores into de facto showrooms. A writer for the AOL site Daily Finance tells people to go to brick-and-mortar stores, check out cameras, then go online to buy one. The Harvard Bookstore here in Cambridge, Massachusetts, has a video showing a staff member helping a couple who've seen a book they want to get, but all they know is it's got a big head on the cover.
Is that the one you're looking for?
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah, I remember the head on the cover. So, if you want, you can take up to Jen at the register.
Have you seen these? We got this thing hooked up to the world web, man.
We're just going to buy it online.
Thanks, man. Thanks so much.
Thanks very much.
You've been a really big help.
Have a good one.
The video ends with the line, "Don't be an iPhoney, buy where you shop." And in the store, there's a sign, "If you see it here, buy it here. Keep us here." Author Richard Russo wrote an op-ed in the New York Times about what his friend, author Dennis Lehane, called the scorched earth capitalism techniques of Amazon. Richard's article is called Amazon's Jungle Logic. Richard, your daughter Emily wrote you about this. She's now a bookseller in Brooklyn, but she foresaw this when she worked at a bookstore in Western Massachusetts.
That was a bookstore that sold textbooks, and parents would come in. And they would make long lists of all the books that their kids were going to need, and they would make use of the staff, and they would write down all of the ISBN numbers, and they would say, "Oh, we just love your store. It's wonderful. You have so much." And then, armed with their list, they would walk out the door, and Emily would say, "Well, you're not going to buy anything?" And they say, "Oh, no, well, we're going to go home, and we'll just order it online. It's cheaper there."
So her response to the Amazon campaign encouraging this was what?
Well, I mean, she was just mortified, although not, of course, surprised.
Right.
I mean, this has been going on for a long time, and this is just a new phase, I think, in terms of Amazon's kind of predatory impulses.
Well, you dialed up some of your friends who happen to include people like Scott Turow, who is a lawyer, and wondered if this was even lawful. I mean, can brick-and-mortar stores serve as, almost, as he said, a warming station for other businesses, and people then go back and buy online, and by the way, not pay taxes?
Scott would be the one to talk to about this, but I have a feeling that a lot of this is going to end up in the courts. As you may have heard, Maine Senator Olympia Snowe weighed in on the whole thing over the weekend, saw it as a predatory move on Main Street businesses. And I think that the whole tax issue is something that's going to have to get sorted out. It's not just Amazon. It's not just books. It's this idea that you can save $2 or $3 by buying something online. But the savings, of course, aren't real. If you don't buy locally, then you erode the tax base. If you do buy locally, you're funding your local schools, filling local potholes.
Well, and keeping local bookstores in town. Now, we should say that the Amazon offer this past weekend, that 5% off, did not apply to books. But you talked to, some of your other friends. Again, a circle that includes Stephen King, Andre DeBus, Anita Shreve, Tom Parada. And these are authors who stand to make a lot of money from Amazon. What did they all say?
It was interesting. We should have been loath to say anything to bite the hand that feeds us. And we weren't interested in biting the hand that feeds us, and we weren't really being ungrateful to Amazon. And none of us want to see the end of Amazon. What we are very grateful to are those stores that helped make our reputations by hand-selling us our books before anybody knew who Stephen King was or Richard Russo was or Dennis Lehane was. We all had the same sense, as Stephen put it, that Amazon had gone this time a bridge too far, that there was something smarmy about this and something underhanded, something that we couldn't just sit by and not speak to.
But, this has started a whole debate. Slate technology columnist Farhad Manju writes, "Don't support your local bookstore. Buying books on Amazon is better for authors and for the reader because they're cheaper." And he calls you a bookstore cultist. Just speak to that, this idea that this is sort of an elitist notion and that, it's better for the mass population and for books in general to buy them online.
I read that with interest because it's a very cleverly and very interestingly parsed argument. He admits up front, I wouldn't want him on my defense team, but he admits up front that Amazon has been guilty of all of these really ham-fisted and predatory sorts of behaviors now and in the past. But what he ends up saying is that really, when you think about it, Amazon, they're just good business people. They're selling books cheaper, which allows us to buy more books. They're just good men of business. That's exactly what Scrooge said to defend Jacob Marley, who had a rattling reply, if we recall.
Remind us.
Marley shakes his chains at Scrooge and says, "Mankind was my business."
Yeah. Amazon released a statement saying that the app that encouraged consumers to literally go spy and collect data in brick-and-mortar stores is mostly intended for shoppers who want to compare prices at major retail chains, and that the app also includes comparisons from businesses that sell through its website. It said it was just putting it out there for consumers. But I want to ask you, Richard Russo, if you took any consolation from an article that appeared on the arts pages the same day that you wrote your op-ed in the New York Times, saying that, in fact, small bookstores are booming this season.
Well, I did take consolation from that, and also from a communication that I got with Ann Patchett, who has opened a bookstore in Nashville. Her store is mobbed, and when people come into her store and they try to do what Amazon was encouraging, they do their price checks or whatever, and they make their lists, and they're simply not allowed to do that. And she said that, interestingly, that when she explains to people why they're not allowed to do that, they all understand. And I think that that's what this whole discussion that we're starting to have now has pointed out, is that it makes really no sense to try to get Amazon to change their behavior. They never have changed it. They're unlikely to change it. What we need to change is the behavior of people who are consuming. And we don't need huge change. We just need... Yeah. We don't need people to stop shopping at Amazon. We just need them to continue to support not only local booksellers, but local businesses of every stripe. If every second or third book of five was purchased locally, local bookstores would do fine.
So that's fascinating. So at Ann Patchett's new bookstore, they just see people making the list and say, "Please, you can't do that here?"
As I understand it, that's exactly what she says, and she explains why.
Wow. Richard Russo, on the tension between online stores and brick-and-mortars feeling like they're, you know, acting like the salespeople for the online stores. You can read his op-ed about this, Amazon's Jungle Logic, at hereandnow.org. Richard, thanks so much.
Great to talk to you.